You're listening to the Fresh Tate Network, NBA Draft Special.
What it is, welcome to Fresh Take. I am very privileged to have Gino DePauli on the show today. He is been in the realm of broadcasting for almost a decade, or maybe a decade plus at this point, killing it on the calls in Okotoks all around. So I'm really privileged to have him to talk about his broadcast journey. Gino, welcome to the show.
I'm excited to be here. You know, it's like what George Carlin always said. We went to different shows, put a zip code, I'll fucking be there. So why not? Let's go.
So I'm going to start you with the question I start everybody with. Okay. When was the first time you kind of wanted to be part of this crazy non-pain thing called broadcasting?
Love the non-pain.
Yes.
We'll talk about money troubles along the way. Actually, it's a great question. It kind of revolves back to a couple different spots because I kind of always loved hockey but couldn't play it. But I never knew what broadcasting hockey was when I was a kid. And the thing that actually got me going on broadcasting itself, where I discovered that you could get paid some kind of money, was actually chuck wagon racing in Calgary, which when I heard Joe Carberry call chuck wagon races, I was like, this is really cool what's happening. Like, I don't care what's happening with the NASCAR involving horses and wagons. I loved hearing Joe Carberry call games and or call races. So that was the initial. And then pretty much I'm thinking probably that winter of whatever age that was, I, you know, listened to Peter Maher on the radio, because being the farm kid that I was, you didn't have, you have your regional broadcasts on 2 and 7 and hear Ed Whalen once in a while on Hockey Night in Canada. So any Flames game, I'd hear Peter Maher by my, those old clock radios when you were a kid, and I'd hear Peter Maher and Doug Barkley. That was my first sort of kind of crack into it. And slowly over time, I just never knew how I was going to get into it. How does it work? Where do you go? And how do you do it? And I guess you go to college, and I did at State and did a little bit of hockey there. It wasn't even the most smoothest transition there. It wasn't until after I did a year of university where I got into real broadcasting and doing a little bit of everything.
Yeah, it's interesting to talk about that, that the path there, right? Like, I think everyone kind of has it. It's like, okay, so this is what I want to do. I kind of want to be like, you know, those guys I see calling games and whatnot, or, you know, being on the news. How do we do that? And then it's a lot of research and a lot of figuring that part out. What made you land on deciding on State?
To be honest, it's actually a really sidebar story. So we got to go back a hair, because when I graduated high school, I went to Italy in school for a year. I got a scholarship to go overseas and learn language and learn culture. Yes. Did okay there. I worked in the oil patch before that, made money, enjoyed my time in Europe. Like, what's better than being an 18, 19 year old kid in Europe for a year by yourself in a school where practically you have a place to live, you don't have to worry about it. And then I had to apply to schools while I was gone. And this is kind of like thinking, like, people tried to phone me in Italy, like, because you didn't have this at the time. So I would be taking phone calls at like midnight in Italy, because deans would be, or the deans or the intake people would be phoning you. And I'm like, whose number is this? Like, what is going on right now? And I applied to Lethbridge College originally. I was waitlisted at State and Mount Royal. I think I got in. I'm not sure. But I'd always heard that State's program was the best of the time. So that would have been circa 2007. And I'm like, okay, well, I think State's the way I want to go. It's only a two-year program, because I wasn't ever really a model student at the time. So we got to do this in baby steps. Now that four-year broadcasting thing, I probably would have probably jumped off a bridge or something. I had to keep going to school for that. And ended up, I was waitlisted on State. I was literally in Lethbridge because I hadn't got into Mount Royal, and I got into Lethbridge, and I was looking for a place. All my friends, every single childhood friend of mine was going to either the college or U of L. So it was probably a blessing in disguise that I got to State, because I probably would have dropped out or flunked out, because it would have just been, it's Las Vegas, right? Like, what more do you want there? And then I ended up at State the last moment. I said to myself, I'd rather be here. So, and away we go.
And how did you enjoy your time at States? You talked about, you called hockey there.
Yeah, I did a little bit. I wasn't the favorite son of anybody's, I don't think, sometimes, but
I can relate.
The radio. I was probably not everybody's favorite. And I think it was more, I did more of the coverage of like being the reporter, and I did a few women's games, and I was really having the itch and I wasn't getting the reps. And that's kind of the story of my life a little bit when it comes to it, not getting enough reps. And I thoroughly enjoyed State. It's probably one of my favorite times of education. My life was the 2 years there. I had great instructors and, you know, butted heads with a few of them, but whatever. And it really was just, you worked. It wasn't going to the U of C, which I did and did my degree. That was painful, but I did do it. But I thoroughly enjoyed my time at State. I don't know what the program's like now. I do touch base with a few of the, like, how things have changed. Like, if I went there now, I'd probably be right back to square one again, like everybody else. So how things have changed so much. And I graduated in 2009. So I guess 13 years ago. So that's something else. And the rest is history. I kind of licked my wounds because we came out in a recession in 2009 where there wasn't jobs like popping up. And I guess I wasn't the most talented, which is totally fine by me. Bring it on, I guess, and keep swinging. So I went to U of C for a year. I hated it. I absolutely hated it. I needed to go to work and do something with myself and make some money and stop working in the oil patch every summer to try and pay things off, because it wasn't always, well, I could just go to Greece for a month in the summer. No, I had to go work on road construction for 3 months at a time and not take any days off and have the money to be comfortable, pay bills, and go from there. So finally got the break, and my first job ended up being right after I finished my first year of U of C. It didn't go well grades-wise. I'm sure they probably said, how about you just skedaddle, get out of here. And ended up going to Melfort, Saskatchewan. Was my first job where I did news sports and play-by-play. And I was told by record, I am the only applicant of that job that actually sent in every single piece of criteria on the job posting verbatim. Like, as you want this, I got it. I threw everything at them and they had no choice but to pick me.
Wow. And when you went to say too, like, did you know, like, it was sports, you know, you talked about you wanted to play hockey and stuff like that. Did you know you wanted to do sports, or you were open to, if I have to do news, I'll do news, but like, this is where I want to go.
Yeah, I wanted to do sports. I kind of hated the news, and I kind of hate the news now, to be quite honest. It's not that like the media is the enemy. I'm not on that wavelength whatsoever. I know so many people in the news industry that are doing incredible work and have been doing incredible work and literally have been crapped on for the last 2 years. I feel for those people. And then I kind of giggled now with what news was and what been when I went to school and what you're kind of aspiring to be. And then there's people that think something's news and you see something from Rebel News and Tucker Carlson. I'm like, this is not what we were taught about, is not to be that. And although there was the opportunity to do that if you ever thought so, but yeah. No, but I'm in that same where I wanted to be in sports. I wanted to be hockey. I wanted to be Chris Cuthbert. I still kind of want to be Chris Cuthbert right now, but as we kind of mentioned, where there's no money, you kind of have to do side gigs. And I got into the construction side of things on the health and safety and a little bit of human resources. Spoiler alert, I'm not the best human resources person, because I'm probably going to be like, just kind of laugh at these things. I'm just kidding. But still at the same time, like, I kind of got thrown into HR, but I did have safety so I could move up the ladder. So I wasn't on the ground all the time. And that's how I pay the bills. And, you know, hopefully that fuels and I can still do what I'm doing in Okotoks now, which has worked out okay. And, you know, we'll see what the future holds for me. It's been 10 years in junior A. Actually, this will be year 11 in junior A and just junior hockey in general. So it's been a hell of a ride, and I don't want it to end anytime soon.
Yeah. Talk about, you know, having such a, we can kind of talk about your other side of stuff, but just having your time really being in Okotoks with the Oilers and with the Dogs.
Well, it kind of starts out when I was in Melfort. I did junior A for three teams. I was with the Humboldt Broncos, the Melfort Mustangs, and the Nipawin Hawks. And
so how long were you with the Broncos? Second, obviously,
just a season.
How familiar were you with some of those players?
Oh, I wasn't around. Okay. I didn't know any of them. Okay. I only like because it's kind of crazy. That's been, well, that's like almost, it'll be 4 years. It's been 4 years since the Humble Broncos tragedy. Mm. And, but I was there for a season with Melfort Nip. We did three teams and that's what I started out with, but I was second fiddle. I wasn't the main guy there. I was the backup. And I think I kind of had, I did make some really good friends there and connections, not just in Melfort, but now recently in connections from Regina, like Rod Peterson, Darren DuPont, and also Mitchell Blair, and all the regional broadcasters. Dan O'Connor had a hell of a career in the SJHL, just finished his WHL career with the Vancouver Giants. He was the first person to welcome me with open arms. And then I just kind of got into a spot in Melfort where I wasn't going to progress, and I was kind of pushed into a corner, and maybe I rub people the wrong way a little bit sometimes, which is fair. And I kind of butted heads with my sports director at times and trying to get more reps, and he wasn't a fan of it. And I just kind of knew I was going to be in trouble if I stuck around. So I took a transfer within our company to go to Whitecourt and be the man, try and do something there. And I was doing junior B hockey for the Whitecourt Wolverines before they became an AJHL team. I got to be sports director. I was the boss for like 3 months because I had no help. It was a one person newsroom for like, I think 4 or 5 months before they hired somebody. And even then I didn't like who they hired at the time. And I even offered my boss, I'll come back for another week if you fire this guy today and hire somebody else. And he said, no. So there was that, but I won a championship. I made connections in the AJHL and just got a little bit closer to home. I've always been kind of a homebody, and I don't think anybody, if people that know me know that I enjoy this province and being close to home. My family's a really big cornerstone of my life. So I try to continue that tradition, and eventually won a championship in Whitecourt, and there was rumblings of the AJHL. I broke that news before anybody else, because I was sitting at the owner's house having drinks. We were talking about it. So it was one of those things. And that's the small town radio thing that I don't think people turn their nose at, and people say, don't be afraid to go to a small market. I was all ears for it. I'm from Cayley, Alberta. If I could turn, actually I won't because I'll wreck something. I'm on farmland, and the hamlet next to me is a population of 150. So bring on a 6,000 person or population city of Melfort at the time, and let's go from there. But after Whitecourt, I kind of made the move to go back to university, and education was important to me. I just wasn't ready to do the degree, and I did. And at the same time, the broadcasting job for the Oilers came up, and I had done color before my year after I graduated state just to get some reps and figure something out. And then I finally got the job in Okotoks, and I haven't looked back, and the opportunities have been there, but I kind of enjoy that community setting. Okotoks says it could be home for me one day. I would really love it too. It's a beautiful town, and as you've seen, yeah, it's awesome. And it's such an underrated sports city now. Well, it's not a city. It used to be the largest town in Alberta, not anymore, apparently. I think Cochrane has that title again. So
that's my home.
Where you live. Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's one of those places where, you know, Peyton Krebs played there. And the Krebs family is super talented. The Dogs organization, the academy produces 100% graduation to Div 1 or Div 3 schools, I think, every single year that they've been doing it. And that's like, that's unheard of. Like, there's usually one guy that doesn't go to college after they play their juniors or whatever in the academy, but not there. You're going there to play somewhere else. And that's what John Urcandia's vision has been, along with Daryl and Doc Seaman and Will Gardner as well. So, and that was a great kind of story where Jonathan Hodgson did the games for years. He'd been there when they were the Calgary Dogs. And I always stayed away. I was doing promos. I'd be PA announcer, and they needed something. I was there. And then Jonathan left, and they kind of kept bringing guys in, good people. Like, I think it was Hunter Julius, and it was like an internship, but they were from the States. So they kept bringing these guys from the States and always had problems. And then I think I just went to them like, hello, hi, I'd love to give this a try. I'm telling you, I'm not going to be the best, I'm a hockey guy first. And I even said that like 100 times, like, are you sure about this? And then got through the first season. It was split between me and Omi Raufian out of Mount Royal at the time. And now he's going to be a lawyer. So he really did a complete 180. Wow. Of what, yeah, he's going to be a lawyer. So I told him, you could just represent me when I say something on the air, right? Or something like that. And did the championship in 2019 when it became the WCBL that year, and they beat Regina in the finals. So I got a ring there. And then we did the COVID season, because we didn't have 2020, obviously, where we had the two teams where it was Okotoks Red and Okotoks Black, which sounds great for about 2 weeks. And then it was so fun to be at the ballpark. Like, I'll never take that for granted. But man, Okotoks Red versus Okotoks Black for the third time in a week is kind of, it was a little overdone. This year, though, you look at what they did, because they had the two teams to help the WCBL out. How good is that team? And who's on their bench? Like, it's probably the best lineup they might have ever had since their three-peat days. So I'm looking forward to what they bring this year. Baseball is kind of it's a nice, relaxing, different pace from what I'm used to with hockey, like snap, snap, go, go. And
yeah,
you know, I got to breathe a little bit there. It was a culture shock the first time I did. I'm like, you know what? I have 30 seconds to kind of talk about something or look up and kind of drag and drop on stats or look at what they did. Like, say, Alejandro Carzola had 36 stolen bases last year and played for Okotoks Black, and you know, that, and here's the cat, and the 3-2 goes the other way. So there was that. And I've Okotoks has been a really nice landing spot. And I think people kind of take junior A and those grassroots sports, and now more than ever, just with how the world of sports broadcasting is, they've taken it for granted because you're not getting reps, and I'm still not getting enough reps to my liking. I, you know, there's not who's coming up in the ranks, who's next, like who's going to be the next guy. It's always, oh, we'll find somebody else. And I just really hope that trend kind of changes as we have come out of the pandemic and you look at the opportunities that are there and local broadcasts. I remember doing Shaw on for the WNBL with Peter Lubardius. That's my greatest contact and my one of my most favorite people in the world today, and a mentor to me, and has also become one of my very best friends. And it was because of that. And people just don't appreciate that anymore. And I know when there's like things like, let's just say CBC Gem broadcasts like a women's slow pitch game and lose, I'm trying to find the link and click on the computer and try and make it work, because that stuff needs to make a comeback in the worst way. We need to create a better attitude towards grassroots sports, because, and even watching the Stanley Cup finals today, I watched Cale Makar. Oh, I've watched him since he was 16, 17 years old when he was with the Northwest Flames. And then he came to Brooks as an affiliate. Cost me nothing because I was calling his games. But the last game he played in the AJHL in the surrounding area of Okotoks, I remember looking up, it was $22 for a ticket. I don't know what the price, it was like $220 to be hanging off the roof at Rogers Place in Edmonton. So I love that side of it. Maybe Lou brought that out of me to see the great, where they come from, because that's almost the best time to see them before they're pros, because you get to see what they maybe needed to work on. So that's kind of where my sports story has kind of led me to, and hopefully it can gradually grow from there.
I think you bring up a great point too, talking about the softball thing. Something that I talked to Sandra and other people about is, I think for not just, you know, for the this country, but for the broadcast side too, to grow it on having it on their channels, right? I think the collegiate side in this country does a terrible job of promoting their game. Look at the Philpotts, right? They were some of the best receiving talent we have had in this country forever. And they were right here locally, or at least where we're in our area, in the Calgary area. And I had the privilege of being the PA for the Dinos last year. I mean, like, holy crap, these guys are really, really good. But nobody's watching the games, except it's on Canada West TV. And now we have this phenomenal league in the CELB, which is doing a good job and trying to market it. How are these games on Bleach Report and not on a TSN or a Sportsnet? And even to the fact of when we have, you know, March, and we have every single NCAA March Madness game on, where is the Canada West stuff? Where's the U Sports stuff?
Yeah.
you know, for soccer, for football, for basketball, and hockey, where is it? I mean, the Dinos had a terrific game against U of A that went down to the very wire, and everyone was talking about it in the collegiate ranks, but let people see that.
Well, the CIS, like, I'm going to, are you talking about hockey or the football on that?
Everything
you said.
Everything.
Okay. Yeah. Because like CIS hockey, because that's my wheelhouse. I'll say it is.
Yeah. The Dinos hockey and is Bears game is what I'm talking about specifically.
Okay. That was a great game. Yeah. But CIS hockey is super underrated, because you're seeing guys from the Western Hockey League, the AJHL, whether it's in Edmonton or Saskatchewan, that they're bringing their Western Hockey League talents from Saskatchewan there, like the Huskies. You had Mike Babcock there. I know there's controversy around him as a human, but chance to see Mike Babcock. Remind me, how many gold medals has he coached for Canada?
A few.
Yeah, and did something special with the University of Lethbridge, but that's another story for another day. And I'm not the biggest Mike Babcock guy. I never truly was. I just knew he was a good coach, so why would you argue? But the chances are there to see, and it comes down to dollars and cents. Like, I know it.
Yeah,
like, of course. There's no money. Wait, got back to our initial conference. No money to be made, and we have to do things
another way. You got to want this.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, and I always kind of looked, couple times I had a chance to maybe get out. I'm like, you know what? Is it time? Because once in a while, there's a hockey game in the playoffs on. And I was like, you know what? Don't need to watch this tonight. Don't care. Like, I don't care tonight. And I'm like, I was like, wait a second. Is that a sign I don't want to do this anymore? I was like, well, no, but I'm also 34 years old. And there is things that you don't get back. And want to make sure I do all those things, and that's why there's PVRs on YouTube, right? You can do it while you're sitting at work waiting for something, waiting to send an email or something like that, and so many ways to get that, which is also a great way. But I'm also the advocate of going to games. I learned this from Peter Loubardius, plain and simple. Watch people with your own two eyes. I can read 100 scouting reports. I believe most NHL scouts are going to tell me that Shane Wright is the number one pick and he's going to be a really good hockey. I get that. I really do. Like, I hope he would hit at a number one, but guess what? It still happens. You fail once in a while because you don't look enough. I know there's advanced stats, which I've never been the biggest at for, but I understand its role, especially in baseball. But I also kind of have the human nature, and when the chips are down, superstars show up and play. Right. So, and that's kind of what's maybe wrecked sports a little bit, is that the average person might have a knowledge, but they just look off the screen. I really wish you would get back. And that's where grassroots comes in, to watch even Braden Point. I'm going to go with Braden Point. I watched him affiliate with the Canmore Eagles. Didn't know who the hell he was. Did not have an idea who he was. And then he lit it up with the Moose Jaw Warriors, and you know, he scores every overtime goal possible that Tampa's ever had when they won a Stanley Cup. And I was like, I see you. I saw you. Like, that's super cool. And then that's the holy shit moment to me. And I really want to see more of those in my lifetime before if I hang them up. I don't think I'm going to anytime soon. I've done this for too long. I might just be the crusty old man that does junior A till I'm like 50 or 60 years old. Who knows?
What is kind of your philosophy when you do play-by-play? Because I know a lot of people have different ways they look at it, but like, kind of what's your philosophy going in, how you call, how you prep, all that?
Well, my prep's kind of changed a lot over the years. When I started out, fire off stats, fire off your roster sheets. If you're in a bind, I still sometimes have to do that just with the work constraints I have, but I've been in the league long enough, surely to Christ, I can remember something from like 2 years ago without kind of sounding like a goldfish on the air. But I kind of go off of spotting boards. I did a lot of that. Chris Cutford, I actually reached out to it back in 2013. And I said, hey, can I, like, I don't, like, he could have like ghosted me, reported me, blocked me, or say, this guy's weird. I was like, hey man, can I like see your spotting board and how you do that? Cause he did it all by hand, which I have terrible writing. So I was like, maybe I can find some kind of system. So I would start that name, where they're from, their hockey programs that they come through, or if even basketball, what association you played with, it doesn't really matter. And even his football boards, I looked at those, but now I just kind of look more digital and time saving and trying to be a little smarter on a computer. I actually looked to Brendan Batchelor of the Vancouver Canucks. I reached out to him because he had a really concrete to the point prep board where he had numbers on the side and everything was punched in. I'm like, well, this is 1,000 times better for me. Like, I can read this. I got laser surgery, so I should be able to see smaller print now. And I use that a lot. And I just update every team as I go along, like every night in the AJ over a weekend. And my prep time has been cut off in about half the time, which is awesome. And I've always aspired, and I even did, as for the calling of the game, as we switch into that tangent, mm-hmm. I did my university thesis with state instructor Steve Olson, and I had to do comms 580, and you got to do anything you wanted, with as long as you had like a theory of communications, which I got my degree in, and I use rhetoric, which is of course the theory of persuasion, and I'm looking, because it was you had to write the second semester, it was a 20-page paper. And I think I was just sitting in class once a week. You'd sit for 3 hours at Saint. I was at U of C, but you go to one class at Saint. And I don't know what Steve was even talking about, but I just looked and I was like, I got it. He's like, what? I was like, I know what I'm going to do my paper on. He's like, it's November. We're not doing this till February. I was like, I got it. And I'm ready. Can I start ready now? He said, okay. So I did. So I did the theory of persuasion of rhetoric. Rhetoric and its practices of how to do a play-by-play, which kind of construct and I use certain things. Like this will probably sound really boring on a podcast, but ancient Greek mythology is kind of how I've done my play-by-play with the theory of ethos, pathos, and logos and kairos. All of those merge together to make great play-by-play because logos is knowledge and ethos and pathos is passion and having the look for it. It's like wearing a sharp dress suit. Are you going to look like a pig? Are you going to sound good? And kairos is ultimate timing. When something happens, like bar down in overtime, are you going to get up for that that extra octave? Or you're upset that it's the opposing team scores? Like there's that surprise that comes in. And that was something I did. My aspirations behind that, I was able to use Chris Cuthbert's call of the 2010 Olympic quarterfinal game against Canada and Russia. Cause it was like, Canada was going to lose that game. Like they're not beating the Russians, how bad they started that tournament. No way. And then there's the excitement that how they got out to a 4-1 lead after one, and the change of tones with Chris Cuthbert was one of my main case studies. Actually, I used like 90% of that game as my paper, so maybe I didn't do enough and Steve felt bad for me, but either way, I did it, and that's kind of how I've aspired. And you just take notes, man. Like you gotta watch what's Chris Cuthbert still calling NHL games today. He's doing something right, so you might want to take notes for him. Gord Miller, I think his World Junior stuff is some of his greatest, like some of the greatest works in Canadian broadcast history. And then when I met Peter Loubardius, I was a late Peter Loubardius fan. I will be the first to say that. Because I didn't know who he was for the longest time, but when I got to say it, he was the regional broadcaster for the Calgary Flames, which got me the itch. But he'd talk about, I can't remember if it was, Blake Como of Quill Lake, Saskatchewan, or Meadow Lake, Saskatchewan for the Prince Albert Mentos. And I was like, holy shit, this is so cool. Like, how did you know that? And you have literally blown my mind for 2.5 seconds while I'm watching a hockey game in the NHL. I thought it was the coolest thing I ever heard. I'm like, that, I'm keeping that. Like, hometowns, the Mick Foley name drop, right? Like, right here in Brooklyn, New York. That's kind of how I do it. Has it got better? Clearly not. I've been at the same job for 10 years. So, no, I've had a couple interviews to go to the Western Hockey League. I've been shortlisted 3 times and just lost out. So I feel like there's something there, and hopefully somebody maybe sees that. And I love Okotoks. I really do. And hopefully that can just lead to some better things. I feel like I'm close. I've been told I interview well, but you know, until you win it, I guess it's not good enough sometimes. So yeah, that's kind of the long short of it, of how I kind of conduct myself.
I think the thing you hit on too, and I think I tell any young broadcaster this, and it kind of goes to a former director, Richard Strobad, with his annoying saying of how bad do you want it? But you know, getting into this side of the industry, because I know there's so many students who go to SAIT just to go, I want to do play-by-play. And those mm-hmm. and so many flame out, right? I don't know many people that have gone that direct route and kind of been like you or me that have me now almost 9-10 years and you know 13 plus years that you know strictly this was you wanted to go in for and you've been going that route, but you have to kind of just take everything you can and go in it and do the best that you can at trying to take any example of what you can get. And it sounds like you've kind of been able to do that, right? If there is something, you're like, okay, how can I get a part of that and how can I elevate that?
I haven't really stretched that far because I kind of expanded my skill sets a little bit. I was approached by a company called HN Live a couple years ago, right before the pandemic. I did the Alberta Cup because I was doing prospect stuff, and Dave Dawson was my old boss. We kind of didn't speak for a long time, and then we kind of got back on really good terms, and I started doing more prospect stuff, and I ran a score bug for a Rocky Mountain lacrosse game on yesterday afternoon between the St. Albert Miners and the Calgary Junior Mountaineers with Brendan Parker, who used to be at Global and with Flames mm-hmm. TV. So you're creating contacts there, just trying to expand a little bit and do a little bit more. It's kind of at that point, I just don't know what else I can do right now. The season ended for me when Brooks beat Okotoks in the self-final. I was like, oh shit, what am I supposed to do for the next 3 months? Like, I need to keep doing this.
And the worst time of the year for a play-by-play. It really is.
Yes.
It's very nice to have the dogs right now, and I'm sure that we're all thankful for that. But like, mm-hmm. when you do hockey, basketball, football, that September to like March zone is really the best.
Yeah. Well, and then you kind of lose it, and you kind of are back at it because – I don't speak in front of a mirror and do stuff because that's just weird. I'm 34.
No.
Like that would just be extremely weird.
Yeah.
I know people that probably do it and that's probably why they're ahead of me in life. But, you know, even veterans of the Western League now, like that's kind of the next step I'd like to take. But I'm probably an elitist saying this. I don't want to just leave to leave. I wasn't offered any job, but I applied for a job in Prince Albert 2 years ago. Or last summer, actually, sorry. And I was shortlisted. I didn't actually get the job, but I was like, am I actually going to enjoy going to Prince Albert, Saskatchewan? Like, probably not. Like, and I'm, if 25-year-old Gino, let's go. Like, let's pack the truck. Let's enjoy ourselves, but a little different now. So life changes. It comes at you fast. So I'm kind of, you know, waiting in the ranks. The old lady actually told me, she's like, you know, if you want to go for these jobs, I'm like, that's how things end real drastically and awful. So are you sure about this? And she's like, yeah, you want to do it. So, and that's, yeah, you just gotta keep trying to connect. That was kind of one of my goals at the end of the year. I kind of did a little sit down with myself and my brain, which is probably the worst convention you could ever ask for at times. And I just said, what do I need to do a little bit better? Do I practice a little bit more? Do I do something different? Do I add new language? No, it's just start hitting that LinkedIn button a little bit and saying, hey, I help, right? Like, I think people are starting to be a little more forgiving about that when you get to my age. I know when there's young guys and they're like 22 to 25, you know exactly what they want. They want you to fall out of the broadcast booth one day and take your job, yeah. Right? So, and I don't want to do that. I don't ever want to step on anybody's toes. So it's so... I kind of forget what your question is all of a sudden where I'm kind of going.
No, it's fine. I like it. I like
it's hard because I don't know what's next, where to go. I've done Sportsnet 960, The Fan. I did some fill and got there. I thought that was a crowning accomplishment for me.
Yeah.
Because I got into what a major market, I guess that's major market for Calgary. I know it's not Toronto. Well, thank God I don't work in Toronto. I worked with, I know our good friend of ours, Peter Klein, who does dogs games with us. I think I did like 2 weeks worth of morning shows with him. And I did 2 weeks of afternoons with Ryan Pinder. I learned so much from Ryan. I learned how to have fun with Ryan too. And Peter, we got to eat Bonton Meat Market at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's like the greatest thing ever. That Bonton potato salad. Not that this is a paid ad, but maybe go check that out. Mm-hmm. And Kelly Kirsch gave me an opportunity because I was doing hits for the going back to grassroots hockey, the AJHL. Then he said, do you want to try doing some shows? I was like, yeah, like, let's go. Like, what do you have to lose, Kelly? I'm a contractor. You can fire me at any time. And I've never been fired from a job. So I, you know, knock on wood, right? So That's kind of my thing. So I don't know what the next step is, how I get there. And you just wait for kind of the fallout of every season and you hope your demo is up to snuff. And
yeah,
you know, you make the resume the best you can. And I guess I don't really have any advice. When you're young, apply for every job. You may not even get a callback. I'm still getting that now. It still happens now when you're trying to get into comms. Like, yeah, press send. Did you get it? Probably not. Or you just went pass. It's so hard. And I can't, I guess the thing I'd maybe leave out on that is like, don't pray or anything, but, you know, give yourself some credit for your abilities that you're better than you think you are.
I guess my last question is, and all this, because I think you've done a great job of kind of talking about the point of the career up to there, is what's your favorite call you've ever had or your favorite game you've ever been a part of?
Ooh, that's a great question. I've had a few. Well, I did call a league championship for the first time in 2018 for the Okotoks Oilers. That was really special. They lost in five games to Spruce Grove, so it didn't end that well. I called the last hockey game at Rexhall or Northlands Coliseum. It was Okotoks versus Spruce Grove in a regular season game. That was super cool. That was a fun game. Calls, I've had a few, a couple triple overtime games. I was part of the seventh longest AJHL game with my friend Tyler King, who was with Brooks at the time, and now he's kind of my boss in Okotoks. We did that game. I did one my first year where Brooks and Okotoks, again, trend here, usually against those two, has created some really great moments. And I think maybe on top of that, it's not necessarily goal calls. I got a few. I had the Sam Huck OT winner this past winter against Drumheller, where the Oilers ended up upsetting the second seeded Dragons that year. That was pretty awesome with the youngest team in the AJHL, where they shouldn't even have won a game probably in that series, but they won four in that semifinal and got to the final. But it's the players I got to see. When I first started out for NHLers, Rhett Gardner played in Okotoks. He's now with the Texas Stars. He scored an NHL goal. He was a black ace for Dallas during the playoffs and in their cup run. You also had Jacob Bernard Docker from Okotoks, who's with the Ottawa Senators. Dylan Holloway just played his first NHL game and playoff game against Colorado. And Cale Makar, man, I got to watch that kid.
That's pretty cool.
And like, holy shit. Here's the thing. Like, I maybe out to lunch, whoever listens to this can say I'm completely full of myself. His game to me hasn't changed from the first time I watched him and when he was with Brooks. He's just bigger and faster and doing it against NHLers now. It's unbelievable. And you wonder, can they make that transition from junior A to college? He won the Hobie Baker. Is he going to be just okay? Because there is that sort of stigma towards junior A versus major junior, which I totally understand. Like, you have the big fish, small pond mentality and how you, where you come from. But man, he just kind of said, I'm good enough to play wherever I go and I'm going to pave my own way. So that's kind of maybe the highlight of my broadcasting career is who I've seen, which again goes back to why grassroots kind of has a really big place in my heart.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on and talking about it and the highlights, and sounds like, you know, you've gotten to call a lot of great players, and, you know, there's some good players on this Dogs team as well that look forward to where it's going, and wish you nothing but the best going forward.
Thanks, man. And maybe we'll actually see each other at the ballpark. I understand we're in totally different zip codes. Yeah. So you might be calling a lot of playoff games. I think I got some holidays when the playoffs start. So
I do not.
Keep that month of August open. Playoff baseball is pretty fun. Yeah. So there you go. There you go. So no, I appreciate it. I'm glad you reached out. And kids, if I do my Dodge Cherry thing, reach out. This is what Josh did for me. And you were very persistent. And I kind of forgot a couple times because that's who I am now at my age. And he got in there. So let her buck. There'll be some more. We even had to make trades this week. Hey, can I do this game instead of that? Because that's how you develop relationships, I guess. And even that's not just broadcasting. I think that's just life in general. So
it is.
That was awesome, man. And well, I appreciate your work.
Thank you. You too, sir. Thank you for telling your story. And look forward to seeing what's to come and maybe having you back on in the future.
You betcha. Like I said, zip code, I'll be there.
You're listening to the Fresh Tape Network, NBA Draft Special.